came from the the hackers movement, and they had so many dollars or Dutch guilders or whatever to spare, and so the hacking in progress in 1997 was really something like the golden age of these camp conferences, and something similar could be said about the conference in 1999 near Berlin in Alt Landsberg.
Right on this place here.
The place, the very place where you are now. And that was also a great conference. What I always liked best about the Dutch conferences was the hippie atmosphere that was to it. And I remember that in 1997, people were whispering, especially Germans. You know the Germans, they are also always reserved and don't laugh about a joke until they really have serious thought about it, and prefer discussions in the kitchens when there are at a party, and to just letting themselves go and dance to the music or whatever. And the Germans were whispering, you know, these crazy Dutch people, they go bathing naked in the nude at the nearby lake. They go skinny dipping. And in 2 years later, 1999, there was the conference near Berlin, and apparently the fever had spread, and now we, the Germans, have also become cool, because when you go to the bathing lake, when you go to the beautiful lake that is near the campsite, almost everyone is there and doing skinny dipping, bathing in the nude. And so maybe the Dutch camps made the German hacker scene a bit more relaxed, a bit more laid back, a little bit cooler, more hippie-like, and I really like that. And of course, because 1999 was the right year, it was just before the big dot-com crash, and everyone was happy at the time, everyone had a job or didn't want one, and so it was maybe the perfect camp. You could see the signs of things going downhill already in 2001, and I don't know what the atmosphere is right now. I heard some of the biggest sponsors, they said in the last minute that they don't want to be involved with the camp, and so the camp has serious money problems or something.
Well, I didn't hear some of these rumors, but fact is that the break-even point, that means the point where the camp is not making too much minus at all, is around about 2,000 people. So if we get 2,000 guests here, we will be quite happy, and it wouldn't be a financial ruin.
Yeah.
So let's hope the best. I think.
Well, you have to look at from a. You have to look at it positively, because the fact that now so many of the dot-coms they crashed, and so many people got fired, although they are excellent experts. That also means a lot of people will have nothing to do for the summer, and so they could come to the camp, and they definitely should.
Well, yes and no. I also heard about a lot of people who don't have enough money to come here, which is a serious problem.
Yeah.
Of course, the organization tried everything to help these people. It was also possible, which is quite unique, to write to a specific email address, the Angel of Mercy.
The Angel of Mercy, yes.
Yes, to discuss about the price. And everyone who wrote to this address is here at the campsite now. I think that's quite unique, to let people also in if they don't can pay the full entrance.
What I read on the website is also that there is, in countries in Eastern Europe where there's a low per capita income, and well, people simply don't have so much euro to spend. And yeah, maybe the hacker scene should be showing some signs of solidarity. There sure are Western European hackers or American hackers or whatever who can afford. And so if they see that someone from, let's say, Russia or Poland comes in for much less than what they paid for, yeah, they shouldn't feel bad. It's, sometimes I feel that practical solidarity is lacking a bit in the hacker scene. We are just too much individuals. I, for one, for my part, I know that I will try to support the camp, and I told you maybe I will make it for the weekend, but I'm not quite sure about that. whether I can make it or not, I will pay the amount of 50 euros, which is for the 2 days, which I already planned in, to the bank account of the camp, whether I can make it or not, because I just believe that the camp is an important thing to happen, and I want to support that.
Well, Jens, we are always talking about money, so, but does this money really have an effect on the culture itself, onside the camping ground?
No, of course not. Well, yeah, money always has an effect of life, because money buys you food and everything. Yeah, maybe what is so special about the hacker scene is that it's some kind of counterculture scene. So you have a lot of young people, a lot of people with not so much money to spend, and so these people knew how to have fun without spending too much money already. And the having fun aspect, of course, this will never change whether we have money in our pockets or not, and the counterculture part will also stay on whether we have money or not. But of course you feel a lot more relaxed when you know you can afford your rent next month, and you will have enough money to buy your food and stuff.
Yes, we hope so.
Yeah.
Do you remember this t-shirt they sold, I don't know, at the last camp? Well, a few months before the dot-com crashed.
Mm.
This t-shirt's Burn, Venture Capital Burn.
Yeah, that was the general atmosphere then. So
yeah.
Everyone thought that the magical venture capital will last forever and will buy us new nifty notebooks every 3 months. And of course, well, it doesn't work like that. You just cannot spend money that you don't have. And if you try so, eventually it will crash. Everything will crash. And this is exactly what happened. So I'm still amazed how many of the manager type people just didn't see that, because I think a lot of the hackers and the coders that of course enjoyed the fruits of this venture capital thing, I think they saw it much earlier that the whole thing will crash eventually. But I really cannot understand how someone who maybe studied economics at the university and calls himself a manager and calls himself CEO or whatever, how they could not see that you cannot ignore the simple fact you cannot spend money that you don't have. I really don't understand it.
Yeah, but there was a time where everybody believed it,
even
the coders itself.
Yeah.
Well, the time where they printed these t-shirts, Burn, Venture Capital, Burn, I think most coders, most people who are really programming knew already what would happen
within the
next few months.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I think this is just an example of groupthink. And you have the same groupthink now, now that the golden age of spending lots of money is over. We have the age of fear coming back, and a lot of people think, well, you know, because of terrorism, you have to deprive people of their privacy, and you have to make stronger laws. That is one side of the medal. Of course, in the U.S., it has a different slant. It goes like, we are constantly under attack. The whole world is evil, except us, and maybe our allies in Great Britain or whatever. The states, the group thing, thing people in the U.S. seem to be in is something like paranoia. And on the other hand, I was really scared to see that another group thing emerged in Europe, especially in Germany in the last days, and this is the one of cheap nationalism. You can get a lot of applause in Germany nowadays if you just criticize America or the Americans. Not for logical reasons, it's just like a lot of people were pissed off because of the war that America made, because of lies America spread, and they apparently didn't have any reason to go at war with Iraq. And so a lot of people were pissed off of that arrogant behavior of the government of the United States. You still have to remember it's the government, it's not the people, it's not the country, whatever. Now, in Germany at least, or in parts of Europe, cheap nationalism works again. And people believe stuff like, you know, we are morally better because we are Germans, and Americans are morally inferior because, you know, they're Americans, they don't have a culture anyway. And on a side note, they tried this cheap nationalism thing again this summer with, of all countries, Italy. So now it's Italy the target of nationalism, and actually the head of state of Italy said something really, really nasty about one German politician, and you know, then the tabloid made this into a real debate or something, whether the Chancellor of Germany should spend his holidays in Italy or not. And again, it worked because Germans and Italians really have a complex relationship with each other. It is said that the Germans love the Italians. They would love to be like them, hot-blooded and living in a country with nice weather and stuff. And although they love them, they don't respect them. And for the Italians, it's they respect the Germans for being logical, for doing good engineering and stuff, but they don't love them. And so that's the complex relationship that seems to be between the Italians and the Germans. And if you're clever, and if you are a politician with too much time at your hand, you can use this complex relationship to bring up cheap nationalism and maybe even a few more votes for the next election. And just like the thing we had in the early 90s or in the mid 90s, when everybody believed, and when the group think was venture capital will last forever, and we will playing with nice shiny toys forever, although it can't be. Now the group thing is, there's paranoia, there's fear, and there's some signs of nationalism on the rise. And of course, all these things are not logical. So we as computer hackers, we know what logic is. It's like all the world is one, except zeros. And we shouldn't be fooled into such an really stupid groupthink. And maybe this could be one of the paths of the connections between hacking scene and society that you could discuss at the camp, at the conference panel or so. That was a lot of talking. Are you still with me?
Yes, I'm still with you. We are listening.
Yeah.
So, the political correct cola. I think it's a discussion that is done very often, the political correct cola.
The political correct cola?
Yes, I think it's interesting because also the groups or the politician groups that are saying they are liberal talking about political correct cola.
Yeah, of course, this is just cheap symbolism. I mean, what these people really want is they want to stop the Bush administration from doing stupid things. This could be done through long talks, negotiations and stuff. And of course, most of that will be behind the scenes, so not not in the spotlight for the public, and the public would get the idea that, well, you know, our politicians are not doing anything about what is going on in America. So they take a cheap symbol like Coca-Cola and say something bad about that. And of course, if you don't drink Coca-Cola anymore, you won't change anything. Consumer boycott never worked. Well, that's my private opinion, and I have some friends, especially from the anarchist union movement, and I will definitely disagree because they think consumer boycott is a nice weapon. Well, you can fuck up a company if you start a campaign about them in the media and say bad things about the way their products are made and stuff. But on the whole, if you're trying to boycott Coca-Cola because you're against the United States of America, of course you will never reach your goal. But this is just a theory, and in reality, we wanted to spread the message as well. So at the local initiative we have in Bonn, where hackers and people from the political side meet and people doing music meet and stuff like that. We call that the network shop, the Netzladen.
The Netzladen, yeah,
yeah,
we
yeah,
will
yeah.
have a discussion about it.
We had a long discussion about political correct cola there, and now we have Afri-Cola, which is also very, very, very tasty, and it's from a smaller company than Coca-Cola, and if you want to try that out, if you are in Germany and you have never heard of Afri-Cola, give it a try. It's something like a cult, and back in the 1970s, I think, there was also a rumor, you know what, they put in Afri-Cola. They put LSD there. That's why people are hooked. And, well, of course, this was an urban legend, and there was never LSD in Afri-Cola, but I think that the company didn't do too much to stop the rumor, because they liked it, that there was something mysterious about their cola, that it was somehow different, maybe containing drugs. So...
You're thirsty.
Yeah, I'm just drinking my first morning coffee. I don't have too much time left. I think I will leave because I have to deliver my daughter to the babysitter for a few hours, and then I will take her back and play with her and stuff. So it was... it's amazing that you have already set up the radio, the FM broadcasting and everything, and I wish you will have a great camp, and I just wish I was there, but that's the way life is.
Yes. Jens, we hope that you come on the weekend if everything works out. And thank you for joining your breakfast,
yeah.
Morning coffee with us. Jens, thank you for your call.
Yeah.
And of course, an announcement to any other viewer, an announcement to every other listener. You can also call us. The number here on the local telephone system is 4x5. And for the external listeners or people who have an external GSM phone, call 03343 864 2246. And if you want, we will discuss about political correctness of hamburgers or cola, or the situation of the society in the future, where we are going to, or just about your projects that you are doing. We would love to hear from projects here on the campsite. Maybe the next hours we will start again to go around at the camp field and try to pick up some ideas of what people here are doing, some projects, some talk, some information here on Radio Sub-Ether. Thank you.
It never stops, never stops, never stops, never stops. This Windows 95, it's sucking up my drive. It makes a Pentium fly, but my PC is obsolete. I'll have to buy myself a brand new machine. Ring it up, stick me up. You suck me in and then you got me hooked. You got me, you got me. There's so much stuff to buy. I need a new hard drive. It's gonna suck me dry. My 386 don't have the speed. It takes an hour just to bring up the screen. Yeah, yeah.
You are listening Radio Sub Ether at 88.3. Click on www.subether.de and check this song out.
pass auf, ich komme.
Warte, ist es schon zu spät? Ich seh noch, wie die ganze Ladung auf den Teppich geht. Dass dein Mädel wie verrückt schlägt weiter ganz verzückt. Und du denkst dir nach einer Weile,
oh, oh Mann, ist das denn geil. Denn ich steck und drück zu gut.
Komm, atme durch und komm zu gut. Und leg mit deiner Zunge, Mann, festziehen. Oh mein Junge, sowas gibt's doch nur im Film. Scheißegal, denn ich will, dass du leckst meine Spalte. Und du schmeckst meinen Saft, bevor ich dich erschlage und es dich letztendlich hinrafft.
You are listening to Radio Sub-Ether on 88.3 MHz. Quite strange music we have here. Well, if you want to play your own music on the camp radio, then just come on here to the radio tent and we will make it possible. It would be very good if you bring the music with you. Audio CDs, laptops, other kind of music. Well, we will have to try out a few things, but if you want to play your own music, maybe in your own radio show, just come to the radio tent and we will make it possible.
Hey poor! Hey poor! Hey poor! You don't have to be poor anymore! Jesus is here! Jesus is here!
I deserve to go to hell.
You are listening to Radio Sub-Ether, the official radio station on the Chaos Communication Camp 2003. The radio station from Sweet Morn to Setting Orange. We are playing on 88.3 MHz. If you want to call us, give us a call on 55555 from the internal telephone network here on the camp, or from the external camp, from the external telephone network, call 0334386422246, or for the callers from other country, first dial the country code of Germany, which is 49, followed by 33 43 86 4 2 2 4 6. We'll be right back. the Chaos Communication Camp 2003, and slowly the people are arriving. So if I'm right, I'm connected to Fry. Fry, you are outside at the parking lots and watching how the guests came, the participants came in. So what is the situation on the parking lots?
It's filling up slowly. I had the shift from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. this morning, and there were about every 10 minutes, I'd say, a car.
So, what do you guess? How many people arrived in these early hours of the day number zero?
maybe 20 to 30 people.
People or cars?
People.
People. So, how many cars can park out there?
Oh, actually, I don't know. Actually, I really don't know.
Okay, so there are always some advices to, you give to the people who come onto the camping ground. Maybe you can tell the listeners of Sub-Ether what these advices are, so some people are hearing us on the motorway, maybe. So, what is the thing you have to mention if you are coming to the camping ground?
I tell them where they park and where they can put their tents and stuff like that, and not to drive with their car onto the camping ground.
So why isn't it possible to drive directly to the ground itself?
I think it's not, there's not enough space, and more reasons I don't actually know.
Yeah, okay. I think the reason is that the landlord here is in this area is worried of the grass, and of course he is, because normally here are horses eating that grass, and if there's too much things happening with this grass, it would be actually bad. So, of course, he's asking us to take care of his grass. So, but how do people come from the car with all their stuff to their place to set up their tent?
There are two wagons outside here.
Hand cars.
Hand cars, yes. A big one and a small one, which is normally enough for everything they bring.
Okay, so the people pack all their stuff on the hand cars and come in. Are these hand cars always available, or are they brought back by the people?
Yeah, the people bring them back. Usually people wait maximum 10 minutes or something like that, but not longer.
Okay, so thank you, Fry, very much for this situation report from outside the parking lots, and I think we will maybe in a couple of minutes we will have the next report from the field. We will sending out our reporters to get some original reports from outside.
Going mad. stress, making excess mess in darkness. No electricity, something's all over me, greasy. Insomnia, please release me and let me dream of making mad love to my girl on the heath. Tearing off tights with my teeth, but there's no release, no peace. I toss and turn without cease, like a curse. Open my eyes and rise like yeast. At least a couple of weeks since I last slept, kept taking sleepers. But now I keep myself pet. Deeper still, the night I write by candlelight, I find insight, fundamental movement. So when it's black, this insomniac, take an original tack. Keep the beast in my nature under ceaseless attack. I get no sleep, 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 sleep. I can't get no sleep, sleep, sleep.